We join with Gary and welcome everybody out. I invite you to get your Bibles and open to the book of Acts, chapter 8. We'll begin our study there in just a moment. Good to see each and every one, especially those who are visiting. Glad to have Baker. Good to see him. He's got a big birthday coming up Tuesday.
Right, Tuesday.
So anyway, we wish him well and rejoice with him for that. And good to have each and every one. In the book of Acts, chapter 8, we're going to begin our study here. I remember a few years ago I saw the slogan that we have up here on the screen, each one, reach one. Each one, reach one. It's kind of a catchy thing and sort of sticks in your mind. And it really has to do with the idea of evangelism, the work of personal evangelism. Here in the book of Acts chapter 8 it says, "And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church that was in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentations over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and haling or dragging off men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word." And so that's our study, is personal evangelism. Each one trying to reach one. First off, I want to talk about that phrase, preaching the word. We might read that phrase and we might think, well, are we talking about preaching a sermon? I mean, we've got several of our guys here that are out even today preaching. We've got Josh up in Georgetown. We've got Corey and Chris preaching over at Ball Ridge. And we've got Steve preaching a sermon over at Bethel. And many people thinking, well, I don't know if I could ever preach a sermon. And certainly all the sisters thinking, well, women can't even preach sermons in the church. So I guess this is not talking about us. But I think the verse is really talking to all of us when you look up the definition of this term preaching in this text. According to Mr. Strong, he defines that the word means to announce good news. And I emphasize by highlighting in red here, he says it means the word to evangelize. When it says they went everywhere preaching the word, they went everywhere evangelizing. Especially the gospel, declare, show, glad, or good tidings, preach the gospel. Announcing the good news. Doesn't mean that you're going to go out and preach a sermon somewhere at a congregation. The idea of preaching the word is announcing the good news, announcing the word of the Lord. That is the concept that's taught here. It says they went everywhere preaching the word. They went everywhere evangelizing. And that really applies to all of us of what's being said here. Not just a few that go out preaching from place to place and that type of thing, preaching a sermon somewhere. But the ideal of evangelizing, spreading the good news. If you notice back there in verse 3, it says, "As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and haling," that is, or dragging men and women. That's the ones that are going out evangelizing. That is the church in general, talking and applying to every Christian, to every saint that makes up the body of Christ. We're all to be involved, as we see from the biblical example, that they were out evangelizing. They went everywhere preaching the word. That is, they went everywhere evangelizing. That is, announcing the good news. And the good news, of course, is Jesus Christ dying on the cross. Salvation in the Son of God. Announcing that the way to heaven has been made open, has been made possible for us. Telling people about the Savior. Those types of ideals that center around the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus and what it all brings for us. And so all of us can be involved in this great work of evangelizing. Thus, the ideal, each one trying to reach one. Each one reaching one. That's what evangelism is. And it befalls all of us to one degree or another to be involved in the good work of evangelizing. Announcing the good news.
What does that mean? That I have to be the one that teaches the class? Well, not necessarily. We can be involved in evangelizing and never really conduct the class. We may just be talking with somebody and talking to them about Jesus and talking to them about the Savior and talking to them about salvation, talking to them about eternity of Judgment Day. Biblical concepts, and they'd like to know more about it, and say, we've got plenty of people that are well qualified, and we can have a Bible class, have a Bible study. Or to say, I've got a good track on that. Or we sure would like for you to come and worship with us and to study and learn about Jesus Christ. All that, anybody and everybody can be involved in that, of each one reaching one. That's the ideal of personal evangelism. That we're just trying to spread the good news, to spread the message of salvation. And God's giving us the divine challenge to evangelize. And there are many reasons and motives to be involved in the good work of evangelism. That is, announcing, spreading, talking, and about the good news of Jesus Christ. They're all of us. Are going to be involved in, or should be involved in, to one degree or another. In Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 30 it says, the fruit of righteousness is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. That's the idea of evangelizing. You're trying to win people over to Jesus Christ. You're trying to win them over by persuasion and teaching and instruction to see the value and the benefit. And the wise man says, it's wise to win souls. May I suggest that our work of evangelism emanates from the fact of our belief, our faith. It is evidence of our faith, and it arises out of faith. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 13, it says, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. Paul says, as was prophesied in the Old Testament, I believe, therefore I speak. It is out of our faith, it is out of our conviction that we really believe the message of the gospel that we speak. That we are convinced of it, that we believe it to be true, we know it to be the right way, and we want other people to know the right way also. That we speak because of our faith, that we really believe in this message of salvation. The challenge to be involved in evangelism, personal evangelism, each one reaching one. It is following the example of Jesus, because we learn in Luke chapter 19, contextually there, when he had the opportunity to help Zacchaeus, the little short guy that climbed up in the sycamore tree. And Jesus told him, come on down, I'm going to your house. And he goes to Zacchaeus' house. It says there in verse 10, it says, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. That's what evangelizing is. That's what announcing the good news evangelism is. Trying to seek and to save that which is lost. And we're all lost because of sin. Romans 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we're all lost and undone and on the road to destruction, doom, heading for torment because of sin. But in Jesus Christ, we don't have to die in our sin. In Jesus Christ, we can be saved. And Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. And when we're out evangelizing, trying to reach people by talking to them, reasoning with them about the Scriptures, about biblical themes, about the message of Christ, personal evangelism. We're trying to follow the example of Jesus. The Great Commission, if you'll notice there in Matthew chapter 18, and we could look at the others, because they, in essence they have the same message. Jesus says, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. That is all authority. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Other translation says, go and make disciples of all nations. Make students and learners of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And so that is the goal of evangelism, is that we want people to become students, followers, learners, and followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because salvation is only in Christ. there is salvation in none other. There's salvation in no one else, in no other organization, no means or methods that human beings come up with can one be saved except in Jesus Christ. And that's what evangelism is, that we're trying to spread the good news and to go into all nations, to every creature. You look in Mark's account, or go and preach the gospel to everybody in all nations. Announcing, evangelizing, and we're all involved, and God is challenging us to be involved in the good work of evangelism. In the book of Mark, chapter 1, notice there in number 17, and Jesus said unto them, that is Simon and Andrew, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. When we're out evangelizing, that is announcing good news and talking to people and telling people about salvation in Christ, and that there is a Savior in the world, we're following the example of the apostles, fishers of men. That was the theme of the Vacation Bible School this past summer. That is to be fishers of men, out trying to catch people, to win people over to Jesus Christ. How? By the spreading of the good news. That's where the power lies. Not in ourselves, not in our great ability, but in the power of the message. God is giving us the divine challenge to be involved in evangelism. There's joy in soul winning. In the book of 3 John, in the third epistle of John, there in verse number 4, it says, I have no greater joy than to hear that the children walk in the truth. Whether he's talking as literal children or spiritual children, that is those that he taught, there's no greater joy to hear them walking in the truth. In the book of Philippians, chapter 4 there. And in verse 1, Paul says, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy, my crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. There is joy involved in soul winning, to see people converted to Jesus Christ, to see people make the good decision that, you know, I want to obey the gospel. I see the value, I see the benefit in Jesus Christ, and there is the divine challenge of being involved in evangelism, personal evangelism, each one trying to reach out and to talk to another about the message of Jesus Christ. There is great joy in soul winning. May I suggest also, it is God's desire that souls be won. In the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2 there, verses 3 through 5, it says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. What does God want? He wants all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, that man, Christ Jesus. Wants all men to come to the knowledge of the truth. Wants all men to be saved. It's God's desire that people know about His Son. It's God's desire that they know about the mediator. It's God's desire that they find salvation and be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. We've got a world of people. I mean, the majority of the people in the world are following error or in sin or something other than God's will and not saved. But it's God's desire to be saved. And when we're out trying to help people to know and come to the knowledge of truth that they can be saved, we're out fulfilling God's desire of what He wants. May I suggest something else in the divine challenge to evangelize? And that is the Word of the Lord should burn in our hearts. Back in an Old Testament text, back in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 20. In Jeremiah chapter 20 there, in verse 7 beginning, Jeremiah says, O Lord, thou hast deceived. The other translation says, thou hast persuaded me, and I was persuaded. God says, Jeremiah, what's it go out to preach? What's it go out to speak the word of the Lord? And where did it get him? He says, thou art stronger than I, and thou hast prevailed, and I am in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me. We might even be involved in the good work of evangelism, spreading the good news, talking about the Bible, talking about biblical themes, talking about eternity, those types of concepts. What will happen? I'll tell you, it'll happen a whole lot like what happens with Jeremiah.
people to make fun, kind of make light of, snicker at, think you're loony, think you're some sort of religious nut. Well, it happened with Jeremiah.
For since I spake, I cried out, I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily. He became a laughing stock. I mean, you talk about the world's going to come to an end someday, and that there's going to be a day of judgment, and wicked people are going to be lost in a place called hell, everlasting punishment, and we're going to miss the glories of heaven. And you talk about biblical themes like that, what's going to happen? Well, there's going to be invariably people that will make light and make fun of it. I mean, every biblical announcement that's ever been made, no doubt there have been people that have made light and made fun of it. Could you imagine Noah saying, hey, we've got to get prepared and get in the ark of safety. There's going to come a flood.
And you could probably hear all types of jokes were made about Noah.
He was the butt of a lot of people's jokes as they would say this. And don't you think that boat's going to float? You think, where are you going to go sailing at? He's out there building out on dry land. You'd be like building a boat out here in the over here in the parking lot. There's no water around. There's a little creek over there.
There's a pond down here about foot or so deep.
Why would you want to build a boat out here? There's no water around. He's building it down there close to Lake Cumberland where you could just, like they do in shipyards, you know, they let it loose and boom, it just slides down the water. Well, now that would make sense. But build one out here in the parking lot, there's no water to be found anywhere. How are you even gonna get it out of here? Where's it gonna float or sail to? It wouldn't. And there's Noah out there building. But he's telling the people, be prepared, God's gonna destroy the world. And no doubt a lot of people made fun and made light of. And just like Jeremiah, he talks about doom and destruction. The Chaldeans are gonna come. I'm like, yeah, sure.
Ranting and raving at Jeremiah. On and on they were making fun, making light of.
And people will make light of. And people will make fun of. And then they think you're crazy. And you think, well, you know, it's some sort of religious nut. All she wants to talk about talks about the Bible. Talks about death. And talks about heaven and hell and judgment. And those wonderful, truthful themes of the Scriptures that we all need to be concerned about. But the scoffers are going to make fun. And so Jeremiah, he decides, well, all they're doing is just laughing at me.
Then I said, I will not make mention of him or speak any more in his name. He just decided, I'm just not going to say anymore. All the people are doing is just laughing, just making fun of him. You know, they make jokes about me. And so Jeremiah decided he's just not going to talk anymore.
But listen to the end of verse 9. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. I mean, this fire, the word burns within us. When you really believe the word of the Lord and it's in your heart, it's just going to stay there. You might think, well, I'm going to ignore it. But you can't ignore it. It burns within us. And we've got to get the message out, even if people mock and make fun as they did with Jeremiah and others.
We still got to speak the word of the Lord.
And a love for the souls of men moves us to want to be involved in the work of evangelism. In the book of Matthew there, in chapter 22. In Matthew 22 and verse 39, and the second, that is the second great commandment. The second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love moves us to want to try to reach out and to help people to know about Jesus the Savior, the Son of God, and to enjoy the great blessings that are in Christ Jesus.
Well, no control. Oh, there it is.
How do we prepare ourselves for the work? Well, there are several thoughts to help us, for us to ponder and think about. First off, we ourselves need to be dedicated and cleansed. Using the imagery there of the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2. In 2 Timothy 2, verses 19 through 21, Paul says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge, purging is that ill cleansing. If a man therefore purge, cleanse himself of these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. The first thing, we ourselves want to be dedicated. We want to be cleansed. We want to be purged. We want to be committed, sanctified, set apart, that we are committed ourselves to the Lord and His cause. And as this text tells us there in verse 21, and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good works. The point being is that God will be able to use dedicated, cleansed people. People that are trying to do it. He'll be able to use us as vessels in reaching out to see us as an instrument in the hand of God. To see ourselves as a tool in the hand of God. Just like a carpenter will pick up the hammer, he'll pick up a crowbar, he'll pick up the saw, and he wields those tools in construction. Even so, in the divine construction, we need to see ourselves as tools in the hands of the Master and to be utilized in the great work of evangelism. May I suggest also, and that is to have good attitudes. As we continue on in the text there. Verse 22, flee also youthful lust. Follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, and with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. The foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive. Not to be argumentative, but to be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing them that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledgement of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. These are the kinds of attitudes. As the servant of the Lord, not to be argumentative, to be gentle and patient, trying to teach, and to realize that when people speak things contrary to the word of the Lord and what you're trying to show people from the Scriptures, well, the fact that they're really simply opposing themselves. To be an example and be an influence for good as we try and seek to be dedicated. In the book of Matthew, chapter 5. In Matthew, chapter 5, there in verses 13 through 16, Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savior, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it on the bushel, but on a candlestick, and to give it light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." And the illustration there, two things, light and salt, and the point is that we are to try to be an example and an influence for good. As we prepare ourselves by being dedicated, having the right attitude. And then we pray for wisdom. That we've got somebody that we can talk to. That we can talk to God and we can seek His help. That we can say the right thing and say, you know, say what needs to be said. Say it at the appropriate time and the right way. That the Lord would give us wisdom along that line, to give us help, to give us courage. In the book of Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 6, "Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man." Paul says, pray for me, that a door of utterance, and that I can speak with wisdom. And in Paul, the great apostle, the great apostle to the Gentiles who went everywhere and was involved in establishing churches all over the Roman Empire in the first century. If Paul needed brethren to pray for him, certainly we need to be praying for ourselves and praying for others. That we can open our mouths and speak and to say what needs to be said and to say it in a good way. And to use divine wisdom and to have divine wisdom to speak as I ought to speak in the great work of evangelism, personal evangelism that all of us are involved in. In the book of Revelation chapter 3, we need to be looking for open doors. That God can grant doors. He can open the doors. And he can close the door. In the book of Revelation chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, it says, "And the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, and to the angel in the church of Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, and he that is true, and he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works, behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name." God, for the church of Philadelphia, he opened the door of opportunity. God is the one who opens doors of opportunity for us, and we need to look for him, and look for those open doors that God can provide and does provide for us. To be his instrument, to be his servant, to speak for his word. Praying for wisdom. Trying to set the example and being cleansed and dedicated, having good attitudes. And may I suggest that our serving so often will open doors of opportunity in helping others. In the book of Ephesians chapter 4, in Ephesians chapter 4 in verse 12, there's an important concept that is described in this text. Ephesians 4 and verse 12, it says, "For the perfecting of the saints." Perfecting is the idea of maturing, of bringing to perfection, to maturity, to completeness. That the various teaching offices are to do that. That's mentioned in verse 11. "For the perfecting," for the completion, when saints are completed. The perfecting of the saints. Then he says, "For," that is unto, "toward the work of ministry," when saints are matured and completed and grow, it will be to the work of ministry. The word ministry simply means serving. To work. And that is, we're all to be involved in the work of serving. And that leads unto the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ. And when we are busy serving others, it will open doors of opportunity to be involved in evangelism. Now look, for example, there about Tabitha there in the book of Acts chapter 9. In Acts 9 there in verse 36, it says, "Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas, a woman full of good works and alms deeds, which she did." So here we're talking about one of the good sisters of the first century. This sister named Tabitha. She was full of good works. She was full of alms deeds. We call them works of charity. She was very involved in serving. What was her special skill? It was with a needle and thread. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom, when they had washed, they laid her in the upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydda was near to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter rose and went with them. And when he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber. And all the widows stood by him, weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them." Now there are several facts there. That here she was involved in serving. Dorcas had matured in Christ, and she was using her talents and abilities to what? To serve other people. And I know it made a great impression. Because they're not only very sad at the passing of her death. They said, "Look, she made this garment for me. She made this coat for me. She made this for me." It had impressed them who were recipients of her kindness and generosity and her sacrifice. And it may very well men, that they were people that she influenced and had opportunity to teach because she was busy serving others in the capacity that she could serve in. And there are ways and talents and opportunities that all of us can be involved that will open the doors as we seek to serve. For instance, there in Matthew 25, a whole list of things that every single one of us can be involved in to one degree or another. In Matthew chapter 25, there in verses 35 through 40, Jesus says, "For I was a hunger, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hunger, or fed you, and thirsty, and gave you drink? And when saw we you a stranger, and took you in, or naked, and clothed you? And when saw we sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you've done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you've done it unto me." Now there's a whole slew of things that every one of us can be involved in one degree or another. I don't think that they cornered the market on sick folk back in the first century. I tend to think that we have sick folk today. And that there are people that hurt and are in need, like people having needs there in the first century. Hungry, thirsty, naked, in prison, sick. Problems that befall us as human beings. And what do you have? You have the righteous there serving other people, helping others. And in our serving others, it's going to give us great opportunities to evangelize, to speak the word of the Lord. As we're busy about just trying to be people who are compassionate and caring. And all those acts of Matthew chapter 25, they were acts of compassion. Helping somebody that was hungry, helping somebody that was thirsty, somebody that was sick and go and visit them, or send them to prison to show compassion, to say that you're not forgotten. Every one of those are acts of compassion. And we can all be involved in acts of compassion and mercy and kindness and saying that we do care about other people and we care when other people are hurt. When people are sick, or people have lost loved ones, or people need some help. People are sick and there are things they can't do, and we just step up to the plate to help them out. Because it emanates from us that we want to be people who serve. And that gives us so often the occasion, the open doors, to speak the gospel message. I think about the man born blind and Jesus healing him. And he gave an occasion for the gospel to be taught and Jesus to be extolled. It just great. It just gave all kinds of opportunities. I mean, it caused a lot of fanfare. Now, we're not going to heal anybody that's born blind. But it might be that we go visit somebody that's blind just because we're trying to be compassionate and we care about people. And we think, well, what a waste of time. But I tell you, people like that take note of that. People notice and see those types of things. I remember Robert Jackson telling about a fellow that called one day. And he thought it was somebody else, and he was kind of cutting up with him. And then when he found out it was somebody else, he said, "Oh, well, let me apologize. Let's start all over again." And he got listened to this fella, and the guy said, "You know, you preached my grandmother's funeral. And just the words you said and how kind and caring you were, I just remembered you." And it opened a door of opportunity. Yeah, it was transposed maybe years or maybe months on down the line, but just being a person that's involved in serving and helping others and showing compassion gives us so often the opportunity to reach out and help people. And there's something else in preparing for the work, and that is most converts are friends or family. We think, "Oh, I don't know if I could go out just kind of all over the neighborhood and door-to-door knocking." Well, that can be done. But most people that are converted is because a friend or family member. I went through the directory. I just wanted to think, and so I just go through, looking through the directory, thinking of the people that are converted. And it wasn't most, it was everybody. I mean, we didn't have somebody just happen to just sort of come waltzing in and say, "You know, I saw your sign, and I thought I'd just come to worship." I couldn't find anybody. It wasn't that, "Well, we were listening to the radio program and we just liked it and we just thought we'd come." I couldn't find anybody. Everybody that's been converted that relates to the congregation here, and it happens in almost every congregation of the Lord, almost everybody is related to a friend or a family has talked to them about their soul, about the gospel, about Jesus Christ. And that's all evangelism is talking to people about the gospel. Announcing the good news. Now, there are going to be some people that will tell you right up front, soon, I don't want to talk about religion. Well, okay, we'll just oblige them and not talk about religion, and we'll just move on and maybe wait patiently that somewhere down the line we'll get the chance to talk about the Bible with them. Some people are going to tell you right up front, they just don't want to talk it. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to reason about it. Well, okay. But our job is simply to announce the good news. That's what evangelism is. Each one reach one. And a challenge that I throw out for all of us is just make a list of people. When I was thinking about the lesson, I thought, well, I need to make me a list too. Of people that I know and acquaintances and friends and people that have met. I need to make me a list. Begin praying about these people. And looking for opportunities to try to reach out and to announce the good news. That's what personal evangelism is all about. And we can all, and all of us can be involved in that good work of just talking to people and seeing if they're interested and want to know more. And there are plenty of people that can teach the class and give the final instruction, but just be the mouthpiece to make the contact that will open the door in trying to reach out with the message of Christ. I want to close with the text in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8. The throne scene here, where Isaiah is called up to see God upon His throne. And I heard the voice of Jehovah saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Here we have Jehovah God. That is the God who said, who are we going to send? Who could we send? Who's going to go for us? I mean, God's not going to personally come down and to evangelize people. He's left that into our hands. Whom will I send? Who will go for us? And here's the words of Isaiah. Then said I, here am I, send me. And that needs to be what all of us say. I'm ready. I want to be prepared and be dedicated. I want to be that instrument. I want to be the tool in your hand to open my mouth and to speak the gospel message, to speak about Jesus Christ, to speak to a person about their soul, and to open the door of opportunity that the gospel message can go in. That's evangelism. All of us can be involved in this great work, in spreading the gospel message. We extend the invitation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe there's one here that's never even obeyed the gospel. Well, we want you to know about how to be saved. The plan of salvation is clearly revealed. We hear the good news. Jesus Christ died on the cross. He died that we might be forgiven. Upon hearing this good message, will we believe in Jesus Christ? Acts 16 and verse 31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in thy house, Paul told the jailer, and that'll go for us also. And then we've got to repent and turn to God. Acts 17 and verse 30. God commands all men everywhere to repent. We've got to make a turnaround. And then number 4, we've got to confess Jesus before men, just like the eunuch did when he confessed his faith before men, saying, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He acknowledged with his own lips. And then number 5, we've got to be immersed for the forgiveness of our sins. Acts 2, verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And when we do these steps from the heart, that's when we become a Christian. That gets us forgiven, that gets us adopted in the family of God, gets us on the road to heaven. And then God wants us to grow in His grace and His knowledge, to mature, and then to also be involved in the good work of evangelizing, announcing the good news to others. And then if we err as a child of God, we need to repent and pray God for forgiveness, just like the erring saints did there in Acts chapter 19. Well, we're going to sing this song of encouragement. If one needs to step out on the good news and say, I'm ready to believe it and accept it, we can help you to that end. Come and let us know what we can do. Come together as we stand and as we sing.